This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Thank you. Hallelujah. You're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Matthew said we have been able to be here with you guys in the past. We are ministers, my wife and I. We're youth pastors at Roca Christian Center. Do you guys know where Roca Christian Center is? Amen. All right, all right. We send blessings your way from Pastor Louis, who is my brother. And so he just says thank you for all your prayers and your financial blessings, and to understand that you guys have planted a seed there on 2525 Austin Boulevard. And so thank you for what you have done. We are going through a transition right now, and so we're excited where God is taking Roca Christian Center, and to understand that you are a huge part of that this morning. And so thank you from my pastor's heart and from ours as well. Normally, when a minister comes up here, he starts with a joke so everyone can start laughing. And so I said in the morning service that what I'll do is take this time to make fun of my brother. And so that's just my duty as the younger child, so the younger brother. No, not good at all. I will not go there. Will not go there. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, starting at verse 35 through 38. And if you can stand up in the reading of the word. Again, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And say amen when you get there. Touch someone, tell them they look good this morning. Are you there this morning? All right. It reads this way, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord for the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your presence. We thank you, God, that we can come and call out to your name, God, and you show up, Father, in a split of a second, Lord. Lord, it is an honor to call you God. It is an honor to be a servant, my God. And Lord, we come before you today asking that this word would penetrate to our hearts, cut through the core, God, and make us new, transform us, God, within. In the name of Jesus, that this word would be powerful yet simple. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, and we ask that your angels will just continue to minister to your people today as we go into your word. And the church says, amen. You may be seated in the house. We are youth pastoring at Roca Christian Center, and so I'm used to moving around and being crazy, so I'll try to tone it down a little bit. But it's exciting what God is doing in Cicero and in Berwyn. And so when Pastor Dave asked if we could be here today, it was an honor. Myself and my brother, Pastor Louis, look at Pastor Dave as the Grand Master Chief, like in Halo. I mean, he's the top dog. We just look up to him, and it's an honor to stand in a pulpit that he ministers in. So thank you, Pastor Dave, for allowing us to be here this morning. My title this morning is Scarecrows in the Harvest. Scarecrows in the Harvest. We are in a season in the middle of fall where you see the harvest and you see a lot of scarecrows going up because of the season. And so as I was preparing for the sermon, God just continued to show me as I'm praying and meditating, scarecrows in the harvest field. So I asked God, what is going on this morning? What are you doing? What are you showing me? And so as I continue to seek him and to continue to ask questions, God was showing me we have a lot of scarecrows in the harvest. What a scarecrow? What do they do? What is its purpose? To scare the birds away. And yet, when you look out into a field and you see a scarecrow in the harvest, it is to scare the birds away from eating the crop. Well, the Lord was showing me, not just here at CLC and not just at Roca Christian Center, but in the church as a whole, that we have scarecrows scaring not birds away, but scaring the people away from God. And so this morning we're going to go into his word and how we are doing that and what we need to do to change it. Amen? Amen. Sorry. Here we see, when we open up this passage, we see that Jesus has been traveling and he's been ministering. He has been healing the sick and doing miracles everywhere he goes. He has been just ministering, raising people from the dead. And so we see that he comes to a point in time where he, after he's been ministering and he's teaching and he's preaching, and he turns around and looks at the crowd. And at that split second, he looks at their eyes and he sees their heart. And it hits him, and he knows this, but what he's doing is he's saying it out loud so that his disciples get it. So that's the problem. Sometimes we just don't get it. Even if we've been walking with Christ our whole lives, sometimes we just miss it. And so Jesus says, the people are hurting. He looked at them and he said, they're hurting, they're harassed, they're like sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? What does that mean? They're going everywhere. They have no hope in their lives. And so he looks at them. And he looks at his disciples. He talks about the harvest. And he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Jesus gives the example, and that's my first point this morning, is Jesus sets the tone as he always does. He sets the example. In the scripture, the passage that we read, he said that he came in from town to town. He went out. He moved. I was raised in a church, an Assemblies of God church, where it was basically the people there, they were there for 30 years just doing a whole lot of nothing. They wouldn't go out into the city. They wouldn't go out into their neighborhoods. And they just kept quiet. And so I could see, I'm living proof. I've seen it with my own eyes, what happens when they become stagnant, when they just sit there and not do anything. You might say, well, Pastor, I do children's church. I work in the church, and that's all great. And that's what we ask for as ministers, as pastors at the church. But we want you to go beyond the wall. Beyond the wall this morning. I like when I was studying in chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus entered his own city. And he was entering Capernaum. Why was it his own city? Because that's where he lived. That's where he would come and rest. In his time of any time that he had, he would come and he would rest at his house in Capernaum. His first disciples were from Capernaum. Okay? And so it was considered his own city. And God began to speak to me there. This is our city. This is our town. Whatever Chicago, whatever Berwyn, whatever Cicero, this is ours. Where you live, it's yours. This is your house. Amen. I'm an Indiana boy, and so I come in, and as my wife and I, she's from Joliet, but I'm from Indiana, and so it was a little different from Indiana, from the Chicagoland area, when people are on the go. And in Indiana, I mean, it's just nothing but cornfields. And growing up, and we would visit, because we have all our family. My aunt's here today, my Aunt Mary Ellen, and I said earlier in the service that she looks exactly like my mom, so I can tell her she's beautiful, and thank you for being here this morning. But we would travel from Indiana to Chicago almost every other weekend to be with family. And that road from Indiana to Chicago was boring. I mean, all you saw was cornfields. And it's not like today where when we travel, we go and visit my parents in Indiana, we get in the car, and my three-year-old already knows where we're going, and she knows it's a long way, and she says, turn on the TV. And I didn't have that. I said this morning that what I had was I was the second child, so I was able to just pick on my older brother and my younger sister. That was my entertainment. And so I know when we would go through and come to Chicago, I would see the scarecrows in the fields. I've seen them before. You see them now in just as decorations. And so this morning, my first point is the example is Christ. The example is Jesus. He sets the tone. He sets the example to go out into your own city and just begin to say hi. That's all God is asking for, is for you to say hi. Just hi. We have an inside joke in my family where my mom, she's real quiet and conservative. And the joke is that my mom, she'll say hi to people, but then she'll quickly just kind of go on her own. She doesn't look at anything. She just goes straight to the door. And it's like, Mom, you got to say hi to people. I mean, you got to say, how's your day? How's your life? How are things going? And my mom's like, I know, Phil. I'm your mother. You don't have to tell me. And to see my mom, it's funny because we I go, Mom, you have ministers in your family. I mean, she's raised ministers, my brother and I. And I go, so you got to put yourself out there, Mom, and you got to say, God bless you guys. Not just say hi and then boom, gone. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes we live our lives that way. I hope my mom doesn't listen to this because then now I'm in trouble. Now I'm in trouble. And so that's the joke. But it's the honest truth. How do we carry ourselves? Do we go out into the workplace? Do we go out, whether in school or at work or even with our own families? I ask my wife time to time, am I the man behind the pulpit? Am I that man when I'm with you? Just out at the park. Do I preach and practice? Does it connect? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves as followers of Christ. See, this morning I'm talking to the church. Are we doing our job? See, I take this sermon in and I have to preach it to myself first. Am I doing my job? And so this morning, are we going out? Are we going out and putting ourselves out there to say, God bless you this morning? It starts with the hi. I have a friend of mine who, he likes to talk a lot. He has a big mouth. And we would always make fun of him. And he came up with this little saying. I don't know where he got it from, but I'm going to take it from him. He says, I minister all the time. Everywhere I go, I'm ministering. And sometimes I use words. And I looked at him and I said, no, you're too smart. Or you're not that smart to come up with that comment. And I said, but that's good. That's good. Sometimes he uses words. Which leads me to my second point this morning. Is that as Jesus looked into the crowd, he had compassion. He saw the crowd and he had compassion. Do we have compassion this morning for our neighbor? For our neighbors? Do we have compassion for our family members and for our co-workers? Are we compassionate enough to just forget about our worries and pay attention to what they're going through? Are we doing that in our lives? And you might say, Pastor, I just got too much going on in my life. I just don't have time to do that right now. I understand. I'm there now. We're all there now. I said earlier in the morning service that I am learning, constantly learning. God is constantly showing me that as I continue to pray for others, He begins to just take care of all my stuff. I mean, I don't even have to worry about it. I said, you know, begin to just pray for others, and guess what? That bill just got paid for. Don't know how, got paid for. You see what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden, the focus isn't on me, but it's on my neighbor. Amen. I think the morning crowd is a little bit louder than this crowd. I'll be here all day. I don't got a time to. In the morning, I had to dismiss by 10:15. I'll go all day. See, I work tomorrow, though. That's what God is wanting. Are we compassionate enough to say hi to the person next to us? Or those times where you know people are going through stuff. I mean, I go on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, and I see all our friends and all the drama they go through. I mean, right? It's like, why did they just put that? I mean, but then you think, you know what? I need to pray for them. Hello? I need to pray for them. Maybe that's our own tool that we can use. All our friends on Facebook or on MySpace or on Twitter, all of a sudden we get to see their whole lives. I've been able to, I don't know what if it's a gift or what, I'm observant and where my kids can come in and immediately when they walk into the room, I already know how their day has been. Don't have to ask questions. I know. I know that there's something going on. And so from there on, I said, what's up, man? How you doing? It's as easy as it is. You don't have to have a 3-point sermon. You don't have to have, you know, a background in theology. Hi, how are you? Compassion, just to say hi. When someone says, hi, God bless you, how are you? And you're like, oh, good. And you kind of just walk away. No. Stay there and just talk a little bit. Talk a little bit. Get into their lives. And it all goes back that as you continue to pray for others, God takes care of your junk. I like, I didn't mention this in the other service, but if you look at Luke, you don't have to go there, but Luke chapter 10, it talks about how Jesus sends out and then he tells them to pack lightly. Don't take bags, don't take your sandals. It talks about that. Luke chapter 10, look it up later. And it talks about, I like it because it says, pack lightly. Don't bring too much baggage when you're trying to minister to people, when you just got to say hello. Don't bring too much baggage. That's what God is asking of us. The baggage that we come, all of us, we got baggage. We all do. But guess what? We serve a God who takes that baggage and he throws it out. But we have to have compassion. We have to have compassion. My daughter, who is 3 years old, she'll be 4 next month. When we go to my parents, she'll, you know, little attitudes here and there, you know, little looks. And my parents right away, they're like, oh, that's all you right there. And they say, My last name is Borjas, and so they're like, that's the Borjas right there. That's the Borjas. And I laugh, and yeah, I know. It is. The character issue. I had a bad attitude when I was growing up. Real bad. I was supposed to be the wife beater. Honestly, that's what my parents, they were really worried. My lovely wife is here, and I mean, I'm not throwing that out there, but she takes care of me. You know, and she, my dad laughs, and she says, "Ah, it's because she got you," and I laugh, and I go, "No, she don't." So don't. It's the character issue. That's the problem. Sometimes our own characters get in the way. That's what we have to be praying for. That I would take the Borjas out of my walk of Christ. Hello. Take the Borjas, take my character and take it out. Because sometimes our own character gets in the way. Sometimes it's just, I mean, we're rude. Christian people are rude. And they're horrible tippers, right? Nada. Come on now. But we're rude. I've called district offices. I've talked to church secretaries. Not this one. No. And it's like, man, they're rude. And it's like, hello, who do you work for? We have our own jobs, but guess what? We are working for the kingdom of Christ. And so that's one of those things, is that we have to get the character out of the way for us to continue our walk with Christ. See, I didn't go through none of this in my first sermon this morning. Amen. I like you, sister. I like you. And so here we have Jesus. He looks into the crowd and he sees the compassion. Where are we this morning? Where are we this morning with that? Does our character get in the way that we can't advance in the kingdom of God? Do we have too many problems in our own lives where we can't advance the kingdom of God? Hello, serve God faithfully. And I guarantee you, I was talking to a sister this morning. I said, you know where I lose myself in Christ, where I know he has everything under control, is in worship. There have been times where, just God, where are you taking us? We almost lost our house, or we couldn't get jobs, and it was just a struggle. God, where are you taking us? And I could see my wife hurting, and there's nothing like watching my wife hurt. God, but I'm the man. God, you've put me as the head of my household. What am I supposed to do? He said, worship me. Seek me. Seek me. I said, okay, God, but it hurts. I got it. God, you don't understand. I got it. That's what God is wanting out of us, is to have our faith in him. That's what God is asking of us. Give our problems away. Why? Because there is a greater, greater necessity in the harvest. Now, I've titled this sermon, The Scarecrow in the Harvest, because some of us are carrying scarecrows everywhere we go, and we're scaring people away with our attitudes. We're scaring people away. You know what? I don't even want to go to church. Hypocrite. And that's right. Always the big one, the hypocrite. And let them know, you know what? I ain't perfect. I'm not perfect. God is still working through me. He's still working on me. Okay? Have I been a Christian all my life? No. In a Christian home all my life, but have I been Christian all my life? No. But it wasn't until I said, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this anymore. And so that's what God is wanting. Is he's wanting you to take the family name out, those character issues, so that you can advance the kingdom of God. Bible says, Jesus asked the question, why is there too many workers? Or why are there few workers, I'm saying? Well, that's a real question. Why are there so many few workers? There's not enough. Not enough. What does that mean? That means that me and you are not doing our part. We're concentrating too much on our own problem and not giving it to God. It's called a scarecrow. We're scaring people away from the kingdom of God. We're scaring people away. We tend to focus on scaring our neighbors or the people that we're giving them attitude. How do you treat your family members? How are we treating our family? How many of us have unsaved family members? Yeah, we all do. Guess what? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And you are the ambassador that God is looking for. You are the representative of the kingdom of God. I always pray, God, that I would be a living testimony of your greatness. It was said earlier this morning that when we take a step out of our beds, our job has begun. Our job has begun. Like again, say, Pastor, I'm not there yet. Get there. Get there. I'm tired of people, and this is everywhere, not just here at CLC. I'm just tired of people just forgetting in who they walk with. Does this sermon hurt? It's quiet in here. Someone say amen.
Amen.
It's supposed to hurt. Pastor Dave said, give it to him hard. Okay, Pastor, I'm just being obedient to Pastor Dave. I mean, guess what? It hurt me when I was studying for this. It hurt me. There are a few workers in the harvest this morning. Are you doing your job? Are you running around with a scarecrow stuck to your back? Number one, first point was, is you got to go out. You got to let people know who you are, where, what church you go to, who you stand for. Who you stand for. They asked me at work, they say, Phil, you know, we work long hours. I'm a truck driver. We work long hours, and everyone, we get on the dock, and everyone's complaining, and they're just complaining about their route, about working so many hours. And I say, Phil, why don't you ever complain? Why don't you ever, we don't ever hear you say anything. You're all always quiet and smiley. That's what I'm talking about. Let them see my character. All of a sudden, they start asking questions. Boom. You know why I'm always smiling? Because I serve Jesus. And then they look at me, and it's kind of like, oh, well. Now I got them. I used the example this morning in Bible school. I worked at a shoe place, tennis shoes, and I had a manager who was atheist. And I sneezed. We were closing up, and I sneezed, and he said, God bless you. I said, who? And he looked at me, and he smiled, and I said, I got you now. I got you now. We had a good relationship. You ask questions. That's all it needs. That's all we need. It's like putting water on a seed. That's all it is. That's what God is looking out of you. Sometimes whether we're nervous about not knowing what to say, all they're needing is a hi. How are you doing? Don't make it hard on ourselves. Don't make it hard. But what you first got to do is take the scarecrow down. Take the scarecrow down. Stop scaring people. Smile sometimes. So I tell my mom, Mama, you need a smile. She gives me this big smile. There you go, girl. It's my mama. But that's what God is looking for. That's what God is looking for out of you. That's how we advance the kingdom of God. By just smiling and talking to people. I want this sermon to, especially that we're in the season, that every time you see a scarecrow, you think of yourself. Am I that scarecrow? Am I that scarecrow? Have you ever seen August Rush, the movie? Very good movie. I saw it for the first time a couple weeks ago. It's about an orphan boy, and he's looking for parents to come and pick him up. And they asked him, what do you want out of life? And he says, I want to be found. That's what the harvest is. People are wanting to be found this morning. Have you ever gone to the mall or just walk in your streets and see people hurting? I mean, they just have a blank look on their face. Now that we've been here, you know, 25 in Austin. I mean, it's just like right there. And you get to see kids walk by. We walk down 26th Street, and we see people with no hope. No hope, no desire for life. Teenage suicide is skyrocketing. You've been listening to the news, the whole bullying thing. Kids who are 9, 10 years old committing suicide. What are we doing, church? And we're worried about our own problems. Give it to Jesus. That's who we serve. We serve a God who can take full control. All we need to do is ask. That's all we need to do. Have compassion for our neighbors. And guess what? You're good. You're good. Problems are still going to come. Problems will still come. You're still going to go through, you know, through situations and struggles. But guess what? Give it to God this morning. Take the scarecrow down because you're scaring people away. I don't know how many times where I knew I was supposed to say something to that guy and I just never did. And all of a sudden, I never saw him again. And I was like, dang it. God, I'm sorry. That's what God is looking for. Those opportunities for you to minister. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to know theology. You just got to say, hi, Jesus loves you. That's all you need. Stand up with me this morning. People are wanting to be found. And if we go out and we take care of our character issues, give it to God and have compassion over His people, we will reach the world. Be a witness this morning to the people around you, to your family members, to the people at work, even if they get on your nerves. Pray about it. Give it to God. Hello? Amen. We're going to have our worship team. I think you're just the one-man band today. The altar call is this morning. Let's take the scarecrows down. Pray for compassion so that we can be the worker in the harvest. God also showed me this. I wrote it down in my Bible. That in the beginning, we see an outline here. And the outline is this, is that Jesus is the example by going out, praying for people, healing them, doing the miracles, raising from the dead. And then he tells the disciples to look out into the crowd and to look at their eyes. And have compassion for them. And then he turns around and he sends them out in chapter 10. That's the outline. The outline is Pastor Dave has done what he can. He is showing you Sundays, Wednesdays. He's teaching all the pastors on staff. They've been pouring into you. Pouring and pouring and pouring. Everything you've been learning here, now you take it, you look at the people with compassion, and now it's time for you to go out. Go out. Go out. Go out. Go out. If you would say, Pastor Phil, I have just too much going on. I need you to pray for me. I need someone to pray for me because I just got too much drama in my life this morning. I want you to come down. We're going to give it to God. When by faith, you're going to turn around and you're going to say, here we go. If you were someone else, it'd say, you know what? I need compassion. I got some issues. Come to the altar. And even when you leave today from the altar, your job isn't done. Because part of this altar call is to go out into the city. This is your town. This is your city. These are your streets. It is our job to work the harvest. It is our job. I want every eye closed, every head bowed. I don't want you paying attention to anyone else. This is just you and God this morning.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org. God bless you.